Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 90, Expatriates of Liberty.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, and a beast seated. And welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm Bluonic.
And Mr. Cuse.
I'm Anvil.
Yeah, Mr. Cuse is back from Costa Rica.
Oh, come on. Just because he meets a black girl on the street and starts playing in her jungle doesn't mean he's in Costa Rica.
Hey, it was more than one black girl.
Oh! Talk about an adventure.
Oh. All right. At least it's not Hangover. Shooting. Jesus.
Did you travel down to her forest?
No!
Hey, just remember, skeet shooting, you always aim for the head.
All right, I'm just wondering one thing. Is there a rainforest cafe down there? Because it just would be too easy just to build one right out in the rainforest.
No, I didn't see it.
You put Damn. Three tables and bring out food. Rainforest cafe.
That would be too easy.
Only the ball constrictor hanging down from there will actually eat your child.
Yep.
And population control.
I like it. I'll take it. Yep. Population control indeed. I wish the friggin' alligator was real.
You know, I've never been able to finish that volcano cake that they make there. Every time I go there, I order that volcano cake, and never finish it.
Apparently, I hear that the food sucks, but they're like, you know, desserts are just out of the world.
Yeah,
out of this world.
Tres leche, which is like three milk dessert, and that's amazing.
I've never been there.
Yeah, I don't think I really want to go in there because it's like kids, but you know.
See, when it comes to food, and I think of a good meal, I want Texas Roadhouse, a big steak.
Well, everything there is rice and beans. So if you like rice and beans, you're outside. That's like their main dish.
I think last night there was actually a couple of girls that were walking out of there all fucked up when I was at my work. So I'm like, so you can get drunk while you're at Rainforest Cafe. So, woohoo!
I'm riding the alligator!
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't lie. You know what? That would happen.
Let me ride this big ball constrictor. Oh, yeah. All right.
Duck, what are you trying to tell us?
I'm telling you that those sluts were going crazy for the animals in the Rainforest Cafe.
I don't know. You know, you did that movement with the, you know.
So, Gaia. So,
yeah, sometimes you gotta watch out for the king in public because, you know, he does think he rules the world and shit like that. Like, I think we were trying to get some candy before we were going into the AMC and he was just like, oh, you mean this ding ding ding? He was just trying to do the hip movement and a girl coming around the corner and went, okay, yeah, giggity, and then walked away and I went, damn it, what are you doing?
You remember that, don't you?
No, you don't.
Shades was with us.
Shades was definitely with
and
us.
And remember me and him?
That was a couple years ago then.
And we made the comment. You say that we're horrible to bring out in public with our innuendos, and you're the one hip thrusting.
It's not a girl on a horse, it's a girl on boa constrictor.
Yep, exactly.
Just the way that would slither.
Alright, so is anything going on besides
this? I want to say one thing.
Oh, shit.
When she is playing with the boa constrictor, do you have songs playing in the background? Welcome to the jungle!
Oh, no.
We're gonna have fun again!
Alright, anyways. Is there anything that's been kind of like, for our whole, like, starting off, anything pissing us off lately? You know,
other than the tea every fucking day?
You know what?
Well, we've talked about, that would be like episode 5 now of fucking MBTA fucks up my life again.
Okay, I do have a little bit of an issue, but I think the tea should be running later than they should, because When you go to a concert, it gets out like at 12:30. The trains stop at 12:25, and then that would mean that you would either have to miss out on the last band in order to get home, or You're going to get screwed in the ass because you wanted to see everyone, and now you don't have any way to get back. And now I know what you're thinking. Why don't you just take a taxi? I don't want to spend $50 on one taxi ride to get from Cambridge to Lynn, okay?
Exactly.
That's half of my fucking paycheck.
And, all right, we've all ridden the Blue Line before, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, there's Wonderland, Revere Beach, Beachmont, Suffolk Downs, blah, blah, blah. Did you know that there's an extra stop?
Bowdoin?
No. There's a stop in between Revere Beach and Wonderland. It's not really there, but for some reason they sit there between 5 and 12 minutes every morning.
What is that?
That's never happened to me before.
It's usually bright and early in the morning when I'm trying to come home. I'm sitting there, and you know, my bus is coming in, and I sit there looking and I see my bus. I'm like, no. And I used to be the... No, I'm not a slow guy at running. I used to be able to run up the stairs, make my way around, and run straight out the front door and down the path. Now with this construction, you gotta go out the front door, along the handicap
ramp. Oh, yeah.
Through the Lido's parking lot, across the front of Lido, and over. Yeah, I don't care how fast you are, you ain't catching the bus. The other day, do you know how I caught my bus?
What?
The bus was pulling away, I ran right into the front of it.
Yikes.
I ran right into the front. The dude looked at me, what are you doing? Sorry, there's people on the sidewalk, I'm trying to catch you. And he was actually going to make me go, you know, over to the waiting area and not pick me up.
What an ass clown.
That's what I'm saying. The T is just getting ridiculous.
They need to fix it.
It's also
they
tough.
Need to run later. And there are plenty of people that wouldn't mind the overnight shift there, I'm pretty sure. And I feel like that they really, really need to work on their scheduling. Because I'm almost always waiting like 15 minutes after the fact that they're supposed to be there. And it's really pissing me off. And it's costing me, you know, issue at work. My bosses are cool, but I still really feel bad about it.
Yeah, and one thing that I don't really appreciate is every weekend, for some reason, they're doing construction every single weekend.
Yeah, there's an alert here, there's an alert there. There are alerts everywhere.
So you take the bus from Wonderland to Maverick. You get out and you have to catch a bus upstairs. So you actually have to plan your stuff about 30 minutes different.
The other thing is, if you're going to a Celtics game and it's like a playoff game, the game is out at 1, and it runs at 12:30, you're screwed. Like, how do you know when to leave? That's another bad thing about it. I mean, you can't always time it that it's going to be exactly at that time.
Exactly. You know, because us sports fans get screwed over too. I mean, lucky for us that live here in Lynn, you can jump on the commuter rail, but they run a little bit later. But still.
But with me, with my other job working at the college and stuff like that here in you know, Lynn and whatnot, I have to go to the MBTA building between the buildings, and I don't know how many times I've almost got run over between cars and the friggin' MBTA buses. Like, as soon as I'm trying, like, red light, everything, even the little signal thing is going off, it's going, okay, you can walk now! I'm like, I'm still looking at both ways just in case one of the buses trying to run me down, because that's how it is over there.
And then you lower your head and you run really fast. I'm dying.
More or less, I'm like, oh, I fucking made it!
Clink!
Yeah, and then I'm going to get dinked by a car.
Hey, why am I on the sidewalk?
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty much, MBTA still sucks, no matter what.
They really need to fix it. And they'd be easy fixes, too, if they just took the time to just do the research.
And they said then they talk about money.
Money?
Well, it costs so much money. It's like, well, you know what? You've been doing construction. All right, I started working my job almost 3 years ago. The first summer that I was there, you literally took the train to airport every night and got bused the rest of the way every single night of the summer.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a music fan or a sports fan, there's lots of things going on during the summer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That just, you know, hinders your chance of actually getting home in time or catching your show.
Mm-hmm. Especially those late night games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Especially the late night ones.
Now you go to a Sox game that runs extra innings, you're screwed. You know, some games start at 7, then you're looking at, you know, some of these games end at 1. I mean, look at that, you know, the playoff series against the Yankees that year, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The game didn't end until almost 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, hitchhike home?
No, you can't.
Oh, I'm a Red Sox fan! I'm a Red Sox fan! Oh, thanks!
Thanks. I'm a Yankees fan. Stab! Stab, stab, stab.
More game violence against the Yankees last night.
That makes 5 Red Sox fans I murdered.
Alrighty, so how about we get on with the show now, seeing that there's murdering and Red Sox fans
what?
Dying.
What? Yeah. No!
So we're going to start with video games, I guess.
Yeah, there's some really interesting news, and I think this is pretty cool. L.A. Noire, the upcoming release from Rockstar Games, has been announced and it's going to be competing at this year's Tribeca Film Festival, which is the festival founded by Robert De Niro.
Now explain this to us.
Yes, explain this to us. Because this is a video game.
And that's a film festival.
And that is a film festival.
Well, what they're trying to say is that with this video game, like, the line between interactive video games and movies has just been erased.
Okay, so they're finally getting to the point where, like, this is one of those ideas that I've had in the back of my head, where it goes, you know, kind of like if you're at the movie theaters, and you know how they have, you know, you're just watching it.
Yeah.
Like, to give separate, you know, kind of parts to the movie so you're not living the same friggin' movie every time.
Right.
Have a voting system where in your seat they have a button where you press the vote, and, you know, and it gives a percentage of
who wants that. To that point, I remember that there was a movie like that called Mr. Payback in the early 90s where they were experimenting with that.
Then there was, like, what was it?
Experimentation.
There was, what was it? Goosebumps. Well, writer R.L. Stein, he would do a couple of his books where you read it, and then it would say, for this choice, turn to page, blah, blah, blah. This is what's going on with this page, then turn the next page.
Yeah. I used to have them with the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Yeah, that's what so I used to have. It's one of those setups where, you know, it's kind of like a choice matter. So I could see, yeah, okay, where they're trying to take Eleanor to the concept of movie and video game.
Right. Well, here's the actual quote from the Tribeca Enterprise Chief Creative Officer, Jeff Gilmore. He said, quote, "What Rockstar and Team Body have accomplished with L.A. Noire is nothing less than groundbreaking. It's an invention of a new realm of storytelling that is part cinema, part gaming, and a whole new realm of narrative expression, interactivity, and immersion. We are poised on the edge of a new frontier," end quote.
Nice.
That's cool.
Now, I had a chance to I didn't get a chance to play it at PAX East, but they showed us the Black Dahlia-inspired case.
Yay, Black Dahlias!
Black Dahlia. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
And from what I saw right there, this guy here is right on the money, Jeff Gilmore, and he's right. This is a game that you can literally create your own little endings or whatever. It does blur the line between interactive stuff and just plain ass cinema.
Yeah.
And the way the graphics are, it's unbelievable. What I'm trying to think of what the company was called, Quantum Realm, the guys who made Heavy Rain.
Yes.
What Rockstar has been able to do with L.A. Noire blows Heavy Rain away. And I loved Heavy Rain, but this looks like it's just going to be the big step in the right direction towards interactivity. And like I said, I do understand why they really didn't have a playable demo at PAX East, because it's one of those games where you
need the time.
You need the time. 20 minutes isn't enough to really get into the game.
Well, see, I find it funny that, you know, they show this at, you know, PAX East here in Boston, and they picked the Black Dahlia case, because as we all know, the Black Dahlia was from the Boston area.
Yep. Yep, from Lynn.
So, I mean, it was a good one. You know, you come to that area and you actually showcase, you know, that the person started out here. Which, you know, me as somebody that loves, you know, law enforcement and all that stuff, I know Blue's the same way.
Hi-o!
We've actually sat there and read this case before.
Yeah, and we've watched the movie, you know, we've tried to look at all the cases through the sense of, like, okay, what did, you know, the detectives back then screw up on, or what did they neglect? Because
right.
that's one of those things where back then, there was points that there was a lot of corruption. And then, you know, then there were the officers that were trying to find out the real things, but they kept either getting offed or injured or something along those lines where they couldn't complete the case and it would stay a cold case file forever.
Right, so, because they didn't have the technology that they do.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right, more or less, they're Columboing the shit out of everything.
Yeah.
I know there was one case that me and him went back and forth on, and, you know, this is a little bit off the subject, but these are things that, you know, video games should start looking at. I mean, Kurt Cobain, I remember...
That is actually a very hard case to look at because of the fact that it's a long-barreled shotgun, and supposedly he was able to pull the trigger or whatnot, but you still don't have the detail if he had, like, something to prop up in the gun or something along those lines.
And, you know, there's not...
Where's his wife? So, yeah.
Yeah, but the pictures haven't been released. All they have is, yeah, that quick little one that shows his leg. But if you read the report, it actually says that there's a spent shotgun shell next to the body, which means you have to re-cock it after.
Yeah, this was not one of those auto-cocking, you know, dispensing the shell gun, the shell casing out and whatnot.
So forensic science couldn't...
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I know Duck's got that look like they're going way off topic. Right. But what I'm saying is Rockstar, you know, they start with L.A. Noire, but now they should take more cases like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I mean, Well,
the thing is that...
What I'm saying is you just take typical cases like this. You know... I'm not saying L.A. Noire, but, you know, Rockstar should do more forensic video games.
Well, give me the CSI bullshit, because those are kind of ridiculous, and also the graphics have been kind of getting shittier, and the games have been getting shittier. But we're trying to say, like,
take
along the lines...
Take the detective site and actually take everything from the real documents and give us the chance to try to solve it ourselves.
That's what L.A. Noire's doing.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but I mean, modern age, more
stuff
or less.
That, you know, we all would actually truly know. Well, we all know Black Dahlia. But.
Well, we'll have to see if L.A. Noire is a success, because there are a lot of people, a lot of websites that are saying that this is going to be a critical success, but in regards to a commercial success, there are people that are worried that it's not going to be selling as much.
Well, when's it come out?
It comes out May 17th.
So, I mean...
I'm putting my money down on that now.
Yeah.
I think maybe we should all
see. The guys at GameStop are just loving me right now. Dude, when's the next the Red Faction Armageddon? $5. Write down, go ahead.
But no, like, truth be told, that's one game that we could all get together one day, down and try to, you know, do it together.
That's what I like, is getting, like, friends together to play. When we did the CSI, we were drinking and we were like, dude, that's that dick. That guy definitely did it. Fuck him. Fuck that guy.
And then we were wrong, but we were drunk, so we didn't care. Like,
but Mr. Kish, you were going to say.
Sorry.
Oh.
No, I was we saw your muffler move.
Yes, that's not movement.
I was going to say that when we play, you know, next game we play, I'm going to try not to die in the first 5 seconds.
We'll be proud of you.
There's probably some way that I'll figure it out, even though it's just like a detective game. I don't know.
All right, well, let's just hope in L.A. Noire there's no, like, roof-chasing scene where you have to fall off the roof. So, we'll hope that you'll be able to survive long enough. Right. But.
Mr. Kish will be standing there. He's like, and it's the opening sequence.
Oh, fuck!
My name is Detective Johnson. Sniper. What? There's no snipers in this game? Only Mr. Q's dies by the imaginary sniper.
Oh, jeez, it's Boardwalk Empire all over again.
But no, I mean, I really want to see more games that take real-life cases and give us a chance.
I think they should take 48-Hour Detectives, the one from Crime Network and everything like that, and actually turn that and just do an update on, like, you know, cases that they've had to work on and put it out there as real life.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
You know, as a way to help them solve the crime in real life. Or you could even take one, you know, like some of those cases where they have, like, two people were tried for the crime and they weren't sure exactly which one did it, and just throw it out there. Or you know, more older cases, you know, 70s and 80s.
They could do Rock. You guys heard about Rockefeller? That show. Then they could. That'd be interesting to see, like what he's doing. You know, why? Who he's, you know, pretending like he's like, and who he's acting like.
Do you know which murder I would love to play in a video game?
O.J. Simpson.
Thank you. Yes. At least somebody was visiting.
Oh shit.
That'd be a good one. It's like you're the detective.
No. And I was going to go to their wedding. They were going to let me be an usher, but it was just the thought that counts.
I think it'd be hilarious if you walk up and you look down at her. OJ did it. What? OJ did it. How do you know? OJ did it. It's like, I had a glitch! I know we're not fully talking about this game at this moment, but it's just a whole aspect of what Rockstar has introduced to us.
So what they're trying to actually introduce is, like, you know, like if we're doing... Not an interview, but more or less trying to grill somebody for information and whatnot. Right. You got to do the whole interrogation of, you know, going back and forth.
Yeah, and then you also
he do it? You have to see it in his face. And like,
you
got to
read the facial expressions, which is amazing, by the way, because how realistic it is. Well, they put all those tiny little cameras on their face, and they put like 40 around the whole entire setting.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah, look at these pictures. These are unbelievable. What this game is looking like.
OJ. No,
he's wearing isotoners.
I guess there is going to be a roof scene. Look, there are moving up. But yeah, I mean, the graphics design, yes, they can show the graphics here on that, but I want to see it when they're actually on the console.
And I've seen it, and it looks great.
It's Rockstar, and don't get me wrong, Grand Theft Auto was, updated on the graphics, but there was still shit kind of missing. Like, sometimes off in the corner, you'd see, like, just a cloud of mist. You're like, wait, where's the scenery? Oh, shit!
Yeah. No, they did their homework on this game. It took them 5 years to create this title.
Right? Oh, okay.
So, okay. And in fact, Capcom was originally going to be doing it. Capcom dropped it, and Rockstar picked it up.
Okay. Well, actually, do you know what I'd love to see as a video game? Public Enemy.
Yeah.
All the different public. Cool. Al Capone, Bugs Moran, John Dillinger, Ma Baker, all of them.
They could do a prequel.
Literally, I mean, there's so many things I'd love to see, you know, as a person with a detective mind.
Oh, yeah. It's me.
That this game just gets my brain wanting to play.
Yeah, they have a lineup.
It makes me actually want to run up and buy it. We all know I'm not a huge video game person.
Right.
Look at this. They got a lineup actually on the setup too.
Yes.
That one looks like the duck. Pick him. Pick number three. It's the duck. Oh, see, he's already trying to bite.
So yeah,
he's getting ready for prison.
By the way, they have a game called The Godfather, which looks kind of like that too.
Oh, yeah. This is better than The Godfather.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot better than Godfather because it won't have so many fuck ups.
Well, no, it was The Godfather Part 2 that had the fuck ups. The first one was actually really great.
Yeah,
the
first one. I liked the first one.
Oh, looks like a house explosion.
Yeah,
that's going to be interesting.
OJ did it.
God damn it, OJ didn't do it. He wasn't alive back then.
How do you know?
I don't know. I just don't. Okay, just leave it at that.
He was just in his father's loins at the time.
Which is this guy right here.
Which might have been his grandfather.
Back when OJ had isotoners, he murdered his wife.
Now, you wanted to also talk about the release of 3DS.
Yeah, 3DS has kind of this interesting setup where you're able to play in the game, and it's going to give like a three-dimensional without the glasses. So that's kind of actually a nice new design. I guess we got to take a look at this last year at PAX East. I think they were kind of just showing it off
weren't showing it off at PAX East last year.
I remember something like
that. No, they had that Picto shot fighting game where you take pictures.
Besides that one, I know that there was another one that it showed.
They hadn't even announced 3DS.
I kill you.
No, they haven't announced 3DS at that time.
Anyways, but I felt that like when I got to take a look at one of the other ones that was actually at GameStop that was on display, that it was kind of cool because of the fact when you're kind of like moving around, it looks like, you know, it's a three-dimensional setup when you're looking at it.
Right.
So I think they've got a good job here, but I think the system itself is kind of ridiculous to pay for.
Yeah.
How much does it cost?
As much as I bought an Xbox is right now, about really? $300.
Yeah.
So let's just put it this way. It's a handheld little device that you can play. You know, they got, I was looking up at a couple of the games. They've got Splinter Cell. They've got a 3DS version of Splinter Cell.
Yeah. They got the Snake Eater 3DS version.
Capcom. Street Fighter versus Capcom or something like that?
No, it's Super Street Fighter 4.
Super Street Fighter 4. Actually, there's that version of that they have is like a $300. One as well, and I was kind of like, holy $300 for this setup? I don't know what Nintendo's on because your, you know, Wii system is $200.
Because the technology for this is kind of expensive. I mean, 3D without the glasses.
Well, you know, they're going to have 3D, they're probably going to have 3D without the glasses for TVs coming in the future. So this is
the whole concept is that it's not that it's popping out, it's in the screen. It's not like when you go behind the screen, oh, look, there it is. No, it's actually, you're going to be able to see it within the game setup.
Right.
Okay, I see, okay.
So yeah, it's going to be very interesting how that comes alive and everything.
But they don't
want
to price it too high because I mean, people don't buy it. Man, are they afraid of that?
People are still going to buy it.
Buy it, really?
It's Nintendo.
They bought the fucking PSP. They're going to buy the 3DS. Well, right now it's like $250. The Super Street Fighter 4 is like the $300 edition. But I mean, to pay $250 for a small little travel setup is going to be crazy.
Yep.
Wow, it was $304 and now it's down to $299.
Oh, look at that.
$5 shift. Yes! I won it! No, I was kidding. But yeah, I mean, they have the setup that, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see when this comes out, if this is going to be how we went from the Game Boy to this, you know?
No, I love Game Boy.
I love Game Boy, especially, you know, when they finally went to color, you know?
Yeah. The black and white was...
The black and white killed me. Yeah, that was horrible. Was trying to play Paperboy on that freaking thing. You're like, damn it, son of a bitch!
Well, no, I played a football game where you have little dots.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to lie, I played Pokemon.
Oh,
so did I. I had the yellow edition.
I got mine for free.
Who'd you beat up?
No, actually, I found it on the sidewalk in front of my house, and it worked.
Oh, no kidding.
Somebody dropped it. I didn't beat up anybody for it.
All right.
But, you know, I played it. I used to kill my batteries doing it.
Look at Lego Star Wars 3.
Now, before we move on to the next video game,
yeah,
this is what I want to talk about. Because a bunch of people were talking about it at work. I haven't been able to find it online yet, but they said that they read it.
What?
Apparently, video games are getting too real. This kid had his, you know, one of those giant 60-inch TVs. Had the volume cranked up with the surround sound. Playing a killing game with one of the rifles. Now, we all know the screaming sounds pretty real.
Yes. Yeah.
So apparently it was so loud that people heard screaming and shooting coming from the house. Walk by, see him holding a rifle, and call
the police. Was this the PS3 version?
I'm not sure which system it was. They were talking about it at work.
I know the PS3 version has that.
Yeah. It's
probably, well, now seeing that Cabela's came out with that new Top Shot gun.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think probably the more realistic one is definitely the PS3 with the whole setup.
Yeah.
Because they have one that's an M4. Well, then that's
what it must be.
I can imagine people walking by and going, holy crap, he's killing somebody.
Well, apparently the police arrived, and they see him through the front window with a rifle. Calling the SWAT team. They buffed in the front door, and this kid's only playing the video game. It was down in Arkansas, according to what I was told.
Well, that's Arkansas for you.
I know, but are video games getting too real nowadays?
Nah,
no, it's just the people are too stupid because of the fact that they jack up the sound and leave the front window curtains open.
I don't know. In my neighborhood, nobody would really notice.
Wait, you sure they didn't call him the Hogs for him in Arkansas?
Oh! They called the Bacon Boys.
Yes.
Because they do have, a nice little pistol.
Yeah.
But here's that.
Whoa!
That's the one that they came out
that's
with.
Sexy.
That's sexy.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's
the Xbox.
Never mind. That's the control panel. Hold on 1 second. I know that one guy actually.
He has PS3 Move.
What's that?
Which one? This one?
Yup.
That's just a joke. That's like the multi-controller fucking ridiculous thing.
God, it everything.
Damn.
Oh, wait, here we go. This is the one with the moving. The moving thing. So they've got a couple of those guns that are like that, that have that setup.
Well, that's not an official.
No, that one's just somebody they made up.
The
SOCOM 4, this guy right here, this one right here. Okay. That's the real one. I know that it has the brown color on it. That one's, what was that? I can't remember where that was from.
I know, I just saw a really nice picture, though.
Was there boobies? Because Google Images does that a lot.
Right there, second row.
Oh, I see it.
Right here?
Oh, over the right. Oh.
Right there.
Yeah, okay, great ass. Anyway.
Nice. Thank
you. But yeah, I mean, they have this setup where, like, I got one of the Wii gun things. I mean, it looks like a Desert Eagle, actually, so it's kind of cool. So when I was playing the game Reload, yeah, I was like, you know, it feels more realistic with the games now. But to have somebody that stupid, you know, playing a game where all you're hearing is, like bombs going off and whatnot. Yeah, definitely one of those things you gotta make sure that maybe you should soundproof your room.
Yeah, I wonder if the police are gonna charge him for them having to call the SWAT team.
Well, no, they're certainly gonna have to pay for his door because it was a false, you know, thing. So, sucks to be him.
I don't know, they could sit there and try to argue that one.
No.
They could win it.
No, they're gonna pay for that.
They could probably say factitious murder or something. I don't know. They're probably going to sue
him. And then the kid would wind up suing the video game company for a door. I am suing them, Your Honor, for one door. Well, why sue him for a door? SWAT team.
He's killing video game characters. We can wait. There was that one dude who was trying to marry that video game character. Ergo, we could probably prosecute him for murdering a video game character.
Multiple counts of murder. What? Guy married video game character. It now counts.
No.
He's killing O.J. Simpson. Oh, that's okay.
It's like, wait. Oh, wait. He's just shot a woman. Yeah, we can't have that.
Yeah.
We're just killing the guys with the automatics, but he just hit a civilian. See, he even got penalized in the game.
Is that got a grenade launcher on it?
Yep.
With the friggin' Wiimote? Jesus, that's ridiculous.
With the PlayStation Move one. Yeah. Boom, gonk, boom, gonk.
I mean, but that's the only thing is like saying, like, if you're taking the Terminator Salvation video game and have that setup put on the, you know, then, yeah, that'd be all over with.
But they needed the scope.
That's
what the Terminator Salvation needs.
Yeah.
But just in there and you're sniping, looking down a real scope.
Yeah, I wish I had enough room in my, you know, my downstairs area to do that. I was thinking about doing another setup in the other room so I had more room so I could do that. you know, the high end, you know, video games were like saying like with what do you call it there, the Kinect. So yeah, it's one of those things.
Right.
But yeah, for the most part, I could definitely agree with you on the whole stupidity factor of the police knocking down that guy's door.
How old was the kid, by the way?
I'm not sure. Like, yeah. I said, this was all word of mouth from a bunch of people at work. Okay. If one person told me, probably wouldn't have mentioned it, but I got like 20 different people talking about it. I was literally sitting there listening.
Next!
Okay, well, I did get to try out a couple demos. One demo that I'm like fucking stoked about... is ooh, a new...
You're fucking stoked?
Yes.
It's stoked!
Yes.
Stoked!
Is a sequel to one of my favorite games growing up, Russian Attack.
Whoa.
What is this Russian
Attack?
Russian.
Russian. It's a play on words.
See, at least you blew into where I was going with that one, but I want to clarify.
The game is Russian Attack Expatriate. And this is a sequel to the classic 1995 game.
Is this about Randy Moss or
no? Yeah.
The game like takes place 15 years after the Cold War. The Russians discover this new element that can help create super soldiers, and you got to stop them. And on top of that, you got to rescue your comrades that have been taken prisoner and escape out of the Russian confines. And when I saw this game, first off, the FMVs, you know, the videos beforehand, they kind of went a little bit too long, which was my only complaint. But then you get shoved right into the game. Graphics, they use the Unreal Engine for, so it's real as hell.
So at least it's not like Metal Gear Solid, the recent one that was like, here, wake up and go to sleep, because we just did a ton of like movie parts of the video game, so you have to go and watch that before you can play the game.
Right. The controls were surprisingly easy to use. You can melee people. You can actually you can sneak into doors and just.
This guy was hanging off the edge, and he stabbed the guy, and he fell off the gate.
Okay. Yep, you can do that. You can hide in doors and like whistle to get the guard's attention, and just as soon as they come up, stab right in the face.
So this is what I feel like. The whole Splinter Cell kind of setup, but in a side scroller, you know, kind of 3D setup.
Splinter Cell and Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the best side scroller games I've seen since the Scott Pilgrim video game came out last year.
Oh, you're not really winning me over.
The only thing I had issue with was trying to do the wall climbing and the long jumps. And while they're not hard to do, it's one of those situations where you gotta time it right in order to, you know, get up higher.
Otherwise, death becomes you.
Yes, death does become you.
Or and, you become death.
And one other thing is, as soon as this demo was done, I almost literally ran out the door to, like, buy more Xbox points so I can, like, continue on playing this game.
So this was Xbox? Because I wasn't able to find this.
Yeah, it's on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, son of a bitch, I missed it again.
Yeah, it came up on Wednesday.
Did you end up running out and getting more to continue playing?
No, not yet. But I do have it if it's saved, and I am going to continue playing this game, and I will try to do a full review of it whenever I get more points for it.
So you're a ninja? Is that what you are?
No, you are an American soldier.
You're a commando.
And you get released, and you got a knife here, and you just stack and slide. You
don't have a gun?
This is kind of like, what is it? Oh, yeah. The stab game that we played last year at PAX
East.
The one with the blood and the death of the...
Shank,
there we go. Yeah, it's kind of like Shank, except
I didn't play it,
more 3D.
And more realistic.
Yeah, it looks pretty badass, actually.
That's not real-looking shanking.
Yeah, but it's still badass in this. Well, Shank was a cartoon.
Plus, you're killing Russians. What's so bad about that? No,
hey, I got a sergeant who's a Russian. He's cool.
I'm joking, you jerk.
He's a basketball fan.
Is he really? Is he friends with Prokhorov?
Hey, okay, you got a gun on this one. So you don't have to just use a knife. You can get a gun. All right, good.
Okay.
I was just about to say, God damn it, just knives and that's it?
Is this a video review you're watching right now?
This is a company that we know of, but we don't want to mention.
Right. I'm just curious to see what their grade was for this game.
Probably very shortly. They will probably put that up there. But for the most part, yeah, it looks like a pretty badass game.
But yeah, and I can easily give this a 5 out of 5 for the demo.
They give it a 4.0.
What the fuck?
I like that. Sprinkly's
good. They give it bad. Bad. Apparently.
Wow.
Long campaign, bad combat. Wow.
What the hell?
They just shat all over it.
Jesus Christ. Hey. And when I played, it was really badass. So,
excuse me.
Okay. I'll at least say 5 out of 5 for this. For
this demo, and then you're going to give a lot more in-depth, you know.
When I get the full version of it.
We need to invent a new word.
Why?
Because you keep on saying Jesus Christ. You have two atheists and a Jewish guy at the table. It's insulting. Three of us. How about we go with Holy Kool-Aid Man? We all love the Kool-Aid Man.
That's true. As long as it's not Christ on a cracker.
How about Great Flying Spaghetti Monster?
What?
Yes, the Great Giant Spaghetti Monster.
We're all going to remember Kool-Aid Man.
I'll say Holy Kool-Aid Man.
Ah. All right.
Chuck Norris in a pickle.
How about just Chuck Norris? Holy Chuck Norris.
Alright.
I can worship Chuck Norris.
Yeah, okay.
Considering somebody over here is trying to get the beard going so we can grow a third fist.
You know what? We can skip that because we did go really long with the video games. We can move on to sports.
Already?
Unless there's another game that you wanted to talk about.
Do you want me to talk about Greg Hastings or otherwise I'll just do a review on that shit.
What's a Greg Hastings?
Paintball game.
Oh, talk about it. I want to hear about this. But, you know, I might want to play it if it sounds good enough.
Well, Greg Hastings has done it again. He created another paintball game. And I think they kind of lost a little bit what they had going for them in the paintball games. That was both in original Xbox and the 360 setup. That was pretty badass. I didn't get to play the NPPL paintball game, so I can't really comment or compare it to that. But I have to say that, yeah, I did like the features that they put on the new game, that you have the setup where you can actually pick team members. And, I mean, like, these are actual real people. Like, some of the teams that, you know, that are out there, these are actually real people. It's a pretty sweet deal. I mean, I know in the game, when you play before him, the lower-end guys, you'd never heard of them. Never heard of them. Ever. And then there's the upper guys that you're like, okay, yeah, I know who these paintballers are because they're the professional guys. These ones were actually like they had like the Somerville Hurricanes, I think, actually on there. Yeah. So they have like some of the like I think the second or third tournament right off the bat was actually at Boston Paintball, not the one here at Everett, but the other one that they have in Sudbury, I think it is.
Yeah, but you and me have actually heard of the Hurricanes from going up to D&D.
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah, that too. I mean, so it's one of those things that they actually integrated a lot of stuff. But also, the other cool thing that they did was showed a lot of the old pictures. A lot of the old pictures of, like, where paintball came from. And I mean, everything from the tube loaders and the...
Back in the 1700s, the first paintball game was first played by the British and the Americans.
God damn it, shut up. Anyways,
like me and Blue actually know where, you know,
paintball like came the original from. Paintball gun was actually something to mark. It was called a marker, and what they did was they marked cattle. So it was a setup where it had like a little CO2 cartridge, and they made these roll balls of paint. And then what they would do is when they're trying to set up of, you know, moving their cows around, they would just shoot the thing and hit the cow and hit, you know, mark the thing. And then somebody got the idea of, hey, why don't we, you know, put on some goggles, run around in the, you know, the trees and play like a war game, you know? And then it came in like, it just came in like a firestorm. It started
after the first game, they invented protection after that because so many people got hit in the balls.
No.
If you remind me next week, I'll bring my stuff so you can see where paintballs come from. Or come to.
Well, let's see, when a mommy paintball and a daddy paintball fall in love with each other.
You haven't seen anything awesome until you've seen my gun. Because he's seen it.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful gun.
It looks just like an M4, and my sight almost looks just like a Desert Eagle.
My friend just got, I think, a Tipperman?
Tipman.
Oh, Tipman, yeah.
Tipman.
Which one?
He probably got either the A5, the X7, or Model 98. I think the Model 98, because I consider the Model 98 from paintball the AK-47 of paintball, because you could throw that thing down the friggin', yep. you could throw it down a mine shaft and bring it back up, and it will still fire a paintball gun. Because
it's got the sight on it.
All of them have sights on it.
Yeah, I know you got sights on it.
Is that it?
That's the 98.
That's the one he got.
A5 sucks.
Yeah, the A5 isn't as great of a gun in the X7. I mean, that's the gun that Dog the Bounty Hunter uses with the pepper ball system, so. But
mine is just, you know, where it's evolved to. Because it went from regular speedball to woods ball where you're playing out in the woods. Now it's this whole thing of scenario.
Yeah, well, real life. Right. Well, for the most part in this game, you didn't really start off as a in like you know the woods ball setup. Even though they tried to make it look like that, it was still a speedball setup. Running, you know, you got the bunkers, you got to run up. But there are areas of the game because I haven't been able to play it all the way through, so I can't really give a full rating system on this game. Yeah. Until I completely, you know, beat the game and, you know, put up a review of it. But right now, for my feelings towards the game, I'll give it maybe a 3.8. Because of the fact that it's not as fluid as I like, but they did do a couple upgrades on the sliding into bunkers and all that other stuff.
That's good.
And it's done pretty well. But for the most part, I feel that, you know, maybe they should have put a little bit more time into this game. But I do like the whole fact that you're able to, you know, get to play paintball without actually playing paintball. You know, you get to sit there and, you know, figure out how you're going to take
up. Safe in the confines of my own home.
You know, I want to drag you paintballing this summer.
Yeah, we're going to duct tape you with the foam and everything like that so you don't feel it.
I have very sensitive skin.
Too bad.
There's plenty of protection out there now, man.
Yeah, but sometimes it falls off if you don't wear it properly.
Yeah, but we'd put it on you properly.
We would use duct tape.
Dude.
Hey, we're not talking about a cup. You know how to put one of those on your own. We're talking chest protector and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, I'll be walking around like that kid from A Christmas Story.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't put my arms down!
Hey, guys! I fell down! We were all ting, 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 ting. Hey, you're pretty close. Ting, 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 ting. Yeah, I used to have paintballs that were white, and I used to be the jerk that aimed for your face with them.
Yeah.
So you have white splatter all over it. Mm-hmm. And come up, yo, what were you doing while we were all paintballing?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but they have the real paintball guns, everything like that, so you could go and check out, you know, you could see how much the equipment is to buy and whatnot, and actually go and check out the real equipment to try it on the paintball field. So it's a pretty sweet game. Graphics, they could be a little bit better, but you know what? It's you know, it's not like they've got a big backing. I mean, as much as paintball, I think paintball is just absolutely huge. But it's just one of those things where it's not like Call of Duty huge.
Exactly.
So if you were to get that backing of money for like how they do the Call of Duty and they have like the top end guys working on the game, they could make such an awesome game. But yeah, they've got 3-man, 5-man, 7, and the infamous 10-man paintball on this. I believe there is the 10-man team because I got, well, let me think. This is the 7 one, and they still have like 3 masks that they could fit on there. So, yeah, there should be the 10-man team on there because they did away with that after a while because I guess it was so hard to actually get a 10-man team. But if you look at a lot of the teams that are for the 5- to 7-man teams, they usually have, like, backup players because of the fact that they need backup players in case somebody gets hurt. But, yeah, I mean, this is a pretty good game so far, but I'm going to have to do a full review on it.
Well, it makes me want to go out and try it.
Well, I got it at my house, so try it there.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, this kind of transitions into sports. So.
Yes.
And yes, paintball is a fucking sport.
That's right. Because we're out there running, we're strategizing, and we're competing.
It's like, you know, tennis and basketball, basically.
Well, you don't really wear a mask when you play basketball, but I guess you're saying it's a sport. I agree with
it's
that.
A sport.
Yeah.
There's equipment. You need a field. You need an opponent.
I know it's not an Olympic sport, but is it even an X Games sport?
No, they haven't done it. They were going to, but they haven't done it yet. But I did hear that there was supposed to be trials for the Olympics to put it out there, so I would like to see that.
Because it's played all over the world. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, from Korea to, you know, our side of the world, it's everywhere.
Granted, America has truly revolutionized sport.
Yeah.
And at least, you know, we say with this sport, it's American made.
Yep.
Not made in China.
Nope.
No.
Timmins an actual American company.
Yeah, all American.
It's good.
And then there was BT.
Which was Bill Timmons.
Yep, Bill Timmons.
Alright, so anyways, I saw Bob Lobel and Mike Lynch speak. And they both started out in radio and they made their way over to TV. And basically, they're the only ones who still don't use any notes when they speak. They basically speak from, you know, just from the heart and stuff like that, which is cool because many
sometimes
people
how we do it.
A little, yeah, exactly.
Right here.
So anyways, it's interesting because, you know, Bob LaBelle's been, you know, on TV for a while. Mike Lynch, the way he actually got to be able to talk on TV was that people ahead of him kept getting sick. So like, okay, you're on mic. So that's how he was able to speak. So a little bit of luck. And they also talked a lot about sports, their opinion on the Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, you know, all the works. And I learned something interesting, too, is that when Rondo, well, the last few games he played well, but before that he was playing poorly because he was still upset about the Perkins trade. So they have a little bit of the inside scoop of what's going on. And they've been on TV since the late 70s till, you know, about now. So it was just interesting hearing their take and hearing them speak about you know, Boston sports, and they're both people that are very influential, and a lot of people look up to them. So I thought it was, yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, me as a sports fan, I've listened to these guys for a very long time. I know, you know, Blue probably has too.
I've listened to Mike Lynch, but Bob LaBelle.
Bob LaBelle, he's a little bit older, and I've been listening to him since back when I was in high school. Yeah, you know, I used to sit there and put on a sports report, you know, while working out and everything. Because he was a true diehard Boston sports fan, the same way I was. And when he spoke about Boston sports, he made you feel like he was one of the players in every single game.
Wasn't he the one that was kind of talking about it with, like, Bruins hockey and stuff like that, too? Like, how it's shooting at the net where, you know, how many shots you put on net is probably going to be the most things to win the game. It's not how you score. It's, like, you know, the shots on net.
Yeah.
That's actually a very good point.
I mean, the other interesting thing is that they both had numerous chances to go to ESPN or other networks, but they were so they liked Boston sports so much they never wanted to leave. Yeah. Think about, you know, someone saying, "Oh, you can work for ESPN, you can make, you know, three times more money." But basically, they just wanted to talk about Boston and became so attached to it. All they cared about was Boston sports, not what happened in Atlanta or Houston or wherever. They were just so, you know, enamored with Boston. So that's another cool thing. You don't see that at every anchor. You see people leaving, going somewhere else, you know, getting the more luxurious job. So it's pretty cool in itself, I thought.
Well, that's how sports is, man. But these guys wanted to stick with it, so.
Yeah.
Glad they did.
Next! So, yeah, what's next on the sports agenda?
Well, you know, we got a little bit about football. There's not a ton going on. You know, we're still in a lockout. But the draft is coming up. Guys are doing their pro days. Guys are moving up the board. Guys are moving down. I watch daily. NFL Network is one of the channels that usually I wake up, you know, I get home from work, turn it on, and there's NFL Network. And unfortunately, even the pros like Charlie Casterly and Mike Lombardi and all those guys, they can't even figure out how this draft is going to go. I know basically on a daily basis, it's been changing for Charlie Casterly. One day it was, you know, Daquan Bowers. Today was AJ Green. I'm like, can you just figure out what's going on? The other day was Blaine Gabbert. I'm like, now Blaine Gabbert's not even in the first round. It's like, what? Like, you guys are confusing me.
And Mike Lombardi was a former GM.
Yeah.
Right?
So wasn't Charlie Casterly.
So Charlie Casterly too, okay. Yeah.
So that's why, you know, they're the foremost on what goes on. But like he said, as pro days come, pro days go, people move up, people move down. And I know I've been asked quite a bit to do my top 10. I'm going to wait. Because every day there's a new pro day. And I've actually, you know, get a chance to sit down and watch how the pro day went. I saw, you know, some from North Carolina the other day made me, you know, rethink a couple people. There's one player I'm really looking forward to seeing how he performs, and that's Von Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Good linebacker. So, I mean, I'll give my top 10, but I'll wait until a few days before the draft starts. And
right.
I'll put it up as an article.
Okay.
Granted, it won't be a long article, but I'll give my top 10.
Right.
Maybe I'll be nice and give my top 32.
Okay. So now I'm going to talk about basketball. The Chuck Norris Celtics.
You put the ball in the hoop.
No.
You put the ball in the hoop and nothing.
No, don't. Kill you.
All right. So Celtics.
You put the coke in your nose and snort it off.
Son of a bitch, no.
Wow.
That's bad.
Oh.
Please, okay. Go ahead, Mr. Case. All
right, okay. We're not talking about Len Bias. So anyway. We're not talking about Len Bias.
Oh.
I can't believe he went there.
All right. So the Celtics played the Hawks last night. You know, I was watching the game, and they were up by 8 at halftime. They were, you know, a lot of balanced scoring. You know, Pierce, Davis, and West were all, you know, close to around 10 points. Rondo had zero turnovers. You think, you know, okay, looks like they're going to win. But after they had a 12-point lead in the third quarter, things, you know, really fell apart. Rondo was missing easy layups, which is, you know, not like him. And other thing is they couldn't rebound. Like, you know, they were stopping the Hawks. The Hawks were missing a lot of jumpers, mostly what they're, taking. But then they got a lot of tap-ins, a lot of putbacks, and it was really an aggravating game for me to watch. So they lost 88-83. So now they're three games behind the Bulls and a half a game behind the Heat for the first seed in the East. So they've now dropped to third, whereas if they won, you know, they would have still had second place. So
How did it happen?
It was just their rebounding was poor, and then
I mean the whole thing where we're behind the Bulls.
We've been behind the Bulls for a little bit.
Now we're behind the Heat, man.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, the thing about the Bulls is that they have Derrick Rose, who probably will win the MVP, and is probably out of his mind.
Are you really saying probably?
He will win it. Okay.
It's already on his mantle.
Yeah, so, anyways, but the thing is just that that's a game, it's a winnable game, and, you know, I think the Hawks shot like 37% and still won. That's really inexplainable. It's
horrible.
So, it's horrible, so.
I think we could have beaten the Hawks last night.
Yeah, but.
The four of us and Mikey, you know.
But just the whole thing with the whole, you know,
box out some people. Come on,
with the basketball and whatnot. I mean, it's one of those games where it's up and down. So,
yep.
Real up and down game.
But did you see the game, Todd?
I saw bits and pieces of it while I was doing a whole bunch of other stuff.
It was just so frustrating to watch, you know, because they didn't get like any defensive rebounds.
Yeah, I started watching, and that's what got to me. So I walked away, and I had it in the background listening while I was doing a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, it was tough.
When I get aggravated with a game, I can't just sit there and watch it, because then I'll pick up the TV and throw it out the window.
Oh, okay.
I don't have anger issues. Football starts in a couple weeks.
All right, so that's that.
All right, so anything else? Your opinion on what they should do, or?
Celtics, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, Kristic got injured. They need Shaq back. Jermaine O'Neal is, you know.
They talked about him this weekend.
This weekend, yeah. I hope so.
Either tomorrow or Wednesday.
Because they had Jeff Green as their center in the game, which is kind of funny because he doesn't really score much and he's 6'8". So they need Shaq.
Jermaine O'Neal was back.
Yeah.
How was he playing?
He had like 1 point or something.
That's it?
Something like that. Yeah, he's not that good. And he's like Shaq was averaging 10 points a game. He gets rebounds. He's a big body. They need Shaq back, or, you know, I can see them losing in the first or second round. They need to get him back, so.
Okay.
He's a must.
Hopefully, and then, you know, getting rid of Perkins would be an even bigger deal at that point.
Yeah, I mean, they're 11-9 since the trade, so. But, I know, it's tough.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at porn over here. No, I'm just kidding.
It was a nice pair of sneakers.
Oh, no. Oh, they still have it. They still have the arrow gun. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right.
I'm finished.
You have a fetish for the air gun?
Yes.
It blows.
It blows good.
This week in hockey, it's been an interesting week. We've played three games this week. We lost one. It's not too bad. We lost to Toronto the other night when we could have actually clinched the division. It's all right, because one win and we've got the division.
Yay!
But then the two games before that, they were very critical. Tim Thomas was in net for both.
Uh-oh.
And Judy did in those two games?
No.
Back.
And to the left.
Back.
And to
shutouts.
Yay!
So he went from 7-9 over the course of a couple of days. This is the reason why he's leading the Vezina Trophy, you know, race. This is why his name's being brought up for the Hart Trophy. This is why he's one of the best goalies in the league at this moment. I cannot say ever, you know, because I am a diehard fan. I love Tim Thomas. Can't put him up there because his career hasn't been always there.
But he's not done yet.
He's 36 years old.
He's not done yet. Don't you ever say that.
It's the last year of his contract, man.
What is the average age for players? Yeah,
especially a goalie.
For a goalie, he's probably got another year or two left.
Okay.
But he suffered injuries. He's been bounced around so much that there's a chance that this could be it. So, they play again today against the Atlanta Thrashers. I hope they thrash the Thrashers.
I got it.
It was a weak joke. It's okay. Hey, as long as you play the cricket, we're good.
Don't you do it. Don't you fucking do it. I'll kill you.
Okay.
Alright.
See?
So before we jump into a couple other little things, I forgot to throw MMA on the list. The other night, the new Ultimate Fighter reality show started. Brock Lesnar versus Del Santos. Junior Del Santos. I forgot his first name. I wasn't Jose. Oh, that went bad. So, I didn't expect, you know, to see Brock Lesnar the way I did. He came out with the big old mountain man beard and everything. I'm like, huh? Who's that? And then he talked. I'm like, Now, a lot of people feel like Del Santos is going to destroy Lesnar. I think Lesnar has taken since he lost his title and might have actually went back and started working on some stuff. I hope he does. You know, it's going to help these kids out a lot. And whoever wins this gets a shot at Cain Velasquez for the title.
Ooh.
I really would love to see Brock carrying that title again.
Especially getting payback for that.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be beautiful. We all know how I feel about, you know, transition from wrestler to fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Lesnar.
I did read, though, that he's thinking about guesting one, doing one more fight in the WWE. Just one more.
I heard about that, but where he's still under contract with UFC, he can't.
It's funny because you see other wrestlers appearing on UFC and then...
Because they're not... You know, when the contract ends, you can go do other things.
Right.
Brock's still under contract. Like, Anderson Silva wanted to, you know, fight in boxing, you know, because he used to be a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not allowed to until his contract's over.
Oh.
So, I don't know you guys' feelings on this, on which coach you think's going to win, but I'm taking Lesnar.
Who was the other guy?
Junior Dos Santos.
No, fuck him. I'll take Lesnar. Lesnar, definitely.
It's hard because Lesnar hasn't really... While Lesnar has proven himself in the ring with the championship and all, he doesn't have that much of a fighting experience compared to...
Yeah, he was Junior. A wrestler, you know. But all he has to do is take those classes and learn. But it's your choice. Which one do you go with?
You're going to hate me, but I think I'm going to go with Junior.
I knew you were going that way.
You asshole! You,
as much as I like Brock Lesnar...
I know you're a huge fan, but... As you used to watch wrestling, right?
Yeah.
You know Brock Lesnar?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I mean, I could give an opinion, but probably wouldn't.
This is your opinion.
All right. I guess I'll go with Lesnar, but see what happens. I mean, I don't know much about the sport, but I guess from what you're talking about, it seems like he... Should be able to win.
We need to get you to watch a little bit more so you have an input.
Yeah, no, it's I should.
I'll give you a couple websites to check after.
Okay.
That way you can keep up on them so you can get some information.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, let's move on to baseball now. Yesterday was opening day. Well, not yesterday, but the day before technically opened it with a couple games, but yesterday was opening day everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally I'd start off with my beloved Sox, but I'm not today. I'm going to go over to Cleveland for a moment. Because I know I told you guys about this earlier. Mm-hmm. This brought tears to my eyes. Alright. Bob Gibson died back in December. As we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's the only pitcher to throw a no-hitter on opening day in baseball history. It almost happened yesterday. Down in the Marlins. But, Mets got a hit in the sixth. But... To begin the game, now, Gibson left to go serve in the military for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Back during World War II, blah, blah, blah. And his career could have been even better. Well, with his passing, you know, everybody brings out, like, former celebrities to the team or whatever. They brought out his widow, who was walked out by, you know, a naval commander. And she placed a baseball on the rubber of the mound. I had tears in my eyes. It was like one of those sweetest things I've ever seen. And not there wasn't one sound made at all.
Mm.
But it was really nice to see that. You know, people still showing respect, you know, even though the person's gone.
Didn't he also throw a perfect game in the World Series?
I believe so.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Speaking of which, there's also the whole video game, the, what is it, MLB?
Yeah.
The 2K11 or something like that. If you throw the perfect game, you win $1 million.
Yeah, really? They did it last year, too.
Oh, they did awesome. That last year, so. In this
did
game,
someone already win it?
No, they made sure that you had time to, you know, practice and whatnot. So, since opening day, you have until whenever it happens.
Oh, you practice in the video game, right?
Yeah.
You don't, like, go out and be like,
yeah.
I got him! Strike. Alright.
But that sucks if you get the perfect, if you throw a perfect game before that time. Be like, yeah!
Stop 3 hours early! I should have hauled off on that final.
Son of a bitch!
I'd be that jerk that, you know, I'd be like one strike away and just pause it. Dun, 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 dun. Where's the beer? Wait, no alcohol. I need to be in the zone.
You know, it's like a couple of pitches.
All right, I'm going to unpause it. Red ring! Oh!
Pop, pop, pop! Die, red ring, die! Well, now let's move on. The Red Sox opened yesterday against the Texas Rangers. And I saw some things I wanted to see. Guys like Adrian Gonzalez getting some hits. Kyle Crawford struggled a little bit, so I wasn't happy. But the one thing I did really enjoy, David Ortiz got his first home run of the season already.
Yep.
Which actually tied it up at 5.
Yep.
But then Daniel Bard gave up 4, and we lost 9-5.
Wah,
wah. Yeah, also Lester gave up 3 home runs for the first time ever, which is another concern. I mean, he's our best pitcher.
I think maybe he was just nervous, being, you know, his first time starting on an opening day.
I hope so, yeah.
He's one of the best pitchers out there at this point, in my opinion. His name's been brought up in Cy Young for the last couple of years, especially everything that he's gone through. So, I really wish him the best of luck, and he will get better today. You know, we've got another game against Texas. So,
Texas.
We'll see where that goes.
Mike Napoli is the one that hit the 3-run homer to give Texas the lead back at 5-4. He's always been a Red Sox killer, too. So
yeah, his entire career.
Yeah. So. And then Texas has Murphy, who's used to be on the Red Sox.
Dave Murphy
had a big double against Bard. So, you know, it's tough watching Bard struggle, but the good news was about Gonzalez. And then Ellsbury had 2 hits
and a stolen base.
So, you know, last year, if you remember, he got injured and then came back, and he didn't do anything. So that was.
He only played 18 games last year.
18 games, yeah. I think it was tough, but even when he was playing.
But when he's healthy. And, you know, when you look at, you know, our team, Carl Crawford and him stealing bases, man, there's going to be a lot of police reports this year.
Mm-hmm. Other thing is, do you have a prediction of how many wins you think the Red Sox will get?
I think they can hit 100. I think they can get 100 this year.
You think they'll win the division?
Easy. All right, I'm going to go all the way out there. Red Sox Phillies World Series.
You think? Mm-hmm. All right, if you jinx us.
Everybody else is making their predictions.
I think the Red Sox will get 97 wins, win the division, and I think it'll be Red Sox Braves.
Ooh, you're giving Atlanta some love this year.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not talking about the strip clubs, I'm talking about the team. So.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the stripper set.
No. All right, you guys. Do you guys have a prediction, or not really?
I can't really even guess.
Right, I really can't guess at the moment, because the way the Red Sox played yesterday, I know that Ortiz did hit the home run, yes, but one guy doesn't make an entire team. So I'm going to have to wait to make my prediction.
What was that?
What was what?
You just, like, grabbed my leg.
No, I didn't. I grabbed this.
Oh, dude, you saw that, right?
Anyways,
I don't know if you were talking.
Or awkward moment. Shut up.
Wow.
Shut up.
See, and he was talking about his anaconda early. I mean, his boa constrictor and his alligator playtime. Ooh.
Anyways,
you want to switch Mr. Hughes?
Don't be such a twat monkey.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. Nice twat monkey. Anyways.
Really?
Yes.
Because
really.
I say inventing new words today doesn't mean you can invent twat monkey.
Yeah.
Twat monkey is pretty funny.
Yes.
Anyways.
All right. So now, March Madness has come down to
the Final Four. Boom, boom, boom.
And there's no number one or two string teams this year.
Right? Seeds, yeah.
Right. Now, the game that I want to see, VCU versus Butler. What about you, Mr. Cuse?
I actually want to see the UConn versus Kentucky game.
You would.
Well, I mean, the thing is...
UConn, do it!
The thing is... Wow.
Oh, really? Did you really just go there? UConn, do it?
UConn. The VCU, you know, obviously is 11th seed versus an 8th seed, which is Butler. So the Battle of Cinderella's. But I think the Kentucky-UConn game will be... actually more of a close game with, you know, they had Brandon, Mr. Goodnight, Knight, and then Kemba, I'll cross you over Walker. So I think that game is
Kemba Walker.
Then you have Calhoun, who hates Calipari.
Oh, for the passion.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking, I guess my prediction would be UConn, Butler, and then UConn winning the title. That's what I think is going to happen, but... Who do I want to win? I'd like to see Butler win because the Cuse, or Syracuse's biggest rival, is actually UConn. So.
Well, I want to see VCU and Kentucky in the final and VCU win it all.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
I hate UConn. The Commodores. Okay.
Why not? Let Cinderella win from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, 11 seeds never won a title, so it'd be pretty interesting. And I actually read an article online saying how VCU is ruining the sport of college basketball because, did you hear about that? Because 11 seed getting in the Final Four and stuff like that, but it's kind of bogus. I mean, it's more exciting when you have you don't know who's going to win each week and you have the upset teams beating the top seeds. If you knew who was going to win every week, then why would you watch it? Like, I just feel like... This has been the most exciting tournament I've ever watched in my life. It's been the best tournament, and I hope every year you get 11 seed beating a 1 seed, or you know, an 8 beating a 2. Or I just think it's great for college basketball.
Well, see, I love the year that Davidson made their run.
Stephen Curry.
Yeah. That's when everybody knew who he was. You know, us true fans knew who he was, but the country found out who Stephen Curry was. Our current NBA skills drill champion.
He's on Golden State right now, and he's having a decent year for he's only been in the league a couple of years, so he's good sharpshooters with Monte Ellis. So Golden State's an exciting team, I think.
Yeah. All right, so that's it with sports, because we're running out of time. We got a lot more to cover.
All right. Well, okay. So I got to see Queens of the Stone Age last week. Moving on to music.
Wait. No, Kings of the Stone Age. You wrote it wrong.
Queens of the Stone Age.
What?
See? Poster. With creepy-ass furry type of stuff going on. See? Queens of the Stone Age.
You know, a Dave Grohl and at the drums at one point.
I have to give you the link up to the poster.
So, for this special show, they had it so they did their first album in its entirety. They did it from start to finish. And they didn't really do any, like extended versions of the songs, except for You Can't Quit Me, Baby. But I liked hearing a couple of the stories behind some of the music, like especially like Mexicola, how it was about when Josh Homme went to Mexico when he was 19 years old and just how horrible an experience he had down there.
Yeah. Well, Mexico and horrible experiments, that's just... That's a norm.
Yeah. But then they came, after they did the full album, they came out and did an encore of like Sick Sick Sick, Burn the Witch,
nice.
Go With the Flow, No One Knows, a couple other songs too. And my only beef with the show was that it was only 90 minutes long.
Ooh. Ow.
So we got out of the show like at 9:30.
Really?
So when that happens, you feel like, what are we supposed to do now? Like, what? The show's over, and there's still plenty of things to do. So
First of all, you didn't go, hey, let's go to the mall. Otherwise, I would have fucking killed you.
No. No. I actually just hung out at the game.
Mall.
At the Game On across the street.
Oh, okay.
Watching that Red Sox team that was playing. The one that... That guy could have won for us, but then they pulled him out, and then that pitch hitter came in and screwed it up for him.
Yeah. He papal bonded.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we consider that as a papal bond?
We're not sure yet. He hasn't pitched it all this season. So.
Oh, okay.
Would you call it papal bomb?
Yeah, because bomb. It happened
papal
last
bonded,
year.
Right? Is it papal bonded?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like using his name as a verb.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But no, he's used, instead of pebble ball, it's pebble bomb.
Yeah, like
he hit a bunch of home runs.
Okay, I see.
Which, you know, home runs was a bomb.
Because he fucked up last year.
Yeah, so, he fucked up.
I'm hoping he comes back strong this year. You know, we need him to. But, you know, we do have Daniel Bard, who did mess up yesterday, but he's still there.
Well, other pitchers also.
Bobby Jenks.
Well, too. Yeah, but Bobby Jenks. Well, yeah, Albers. Okay, sorry.
Hey, you're the one that brought it up.
Right, but we were going way too far.
He's gone too far. No, I'm just kidding.
He's gone towards the point of no return.
Those are his lines. Those are my lines.
Oh, I'm William Shatner.
Oh.
The opening band, though, they were called the Dough Rollers, and they were actually really good. There was like the bluesy type of rockabilly rock and roll guy. Had like the ooh, like the George Durgood type of voice.
Did they make you a pizza while they were performing?
No, but they dressed up in business suits and they were working on their 401k at the same time.
They stole that from
every other fucking band.
Wearing the business suits.
No, there have been other bands. The Beatles did it in the 1960s.
Yeah, but that was proper back then.
Yeah, this Boston's does it in the ska fashion.
Yeah, this is more rockabilly rock, and the business suit type of thing is more into that you know style. It's either the business suits or very very flashy suits. And I did wind up getting their album Someday Baby, and I do have an issue with the album, and that issue is. What I saw on stage with the Dough Rollers was not what I heard on the CD. The CD doesn't capture the live energy that I saw because on the album Someday Baby, it's just the singer and the guitarist. There's no drummer. There's no bassist. It's just those two guys just singing and performing, and it just didn't really work in that sort of fashion. I felt like they should have waited until they had gotten their bassist and drummer and to record the album because it would have sounded so much better.
Oh yeah,
was it acoustic originally or
no? It was like a bluesy rock guitar sort of thing, and the vocals were a little bit more slurry. Like you really couldn't understand what he was saying or screaming in the song, so. I think there should have been a little bit more time for them to work on the album before they released it. I'm not saying they're a bad band. They are a very exciting group to see live on stage. I would highly recommend that you YouTube the band's recent performances to see what they're truly capable of.
Because of how shitty they are?
They're awesome on stage. People were moshing to them while they were performing.
Okay.
So, they were really, really good. It's just that the CD that they released wasn't to the full potential that they could have done.
Alright. That sounds kind of weird.
Alright.
Negative-positive, well, eh?
Yeah, it's a positive-negative sort of thing.
Yeah.
Negative-positive.
So, I did see Hunter Valentine, who I met in late 2009... when they opened up for the Clicks. And I got to interview him. The interview is on the website right now as a podcast episode. And I'm trying my best not to use the term all-girl band. Because I know they're all women in the group. But it's kind of like a stupid stereotype type of thing to say all-girl band. Because you never hear anyone say all-guy band.
Well, I mean, there were the... Backstreet Boys and, you know,
in
something
like that. So boy you could bands. Say boy bands.
Yeah, they were boy bands, but they weren't like rock and... They aren't rock bands. You don't go all guy rock band or... Because boy bands are their own little thing. There's not like... you don't say all guy band in like the rock world.
Oh, of course not.
But why do we say it then when it's all women in the band?
What about... Isn't there a band called the Nocturnals? Aren't they pretty much... All females, you guys heard that rock band?
Yeah.
No.
You have?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so. They're all gross at rocking out anyways. Okay.
But anyway, Hunter Valentine, I feel, is one of the best bands out there right now. They're from Toronto, Canada. Their album, Lessons from the Late Night, was number 5 on my list of top 20 albums of 2010. And just the raw energy that these girls bring onto the stage is unlike anything I've seen in recent years.
Nice. 80-80.
So, just being able to see him live again and have and bringing my friend along too, because she's such a huge fan of them as well, and sitting down, interviewing and chatting with them, getting to know them, and seeing how really down to earth they were. Yeah, it was a wonderful experience. And there were these other really good bands too that were opening up for them. There were Bandit Kings, who are from the Boston area. I chatted with the lead singer of the group there, and they might be sending us something for us to review in the near future.
Yay! I love stuff!
Yay! Lucas Silveria of the Clicks opened up too, and he mostly did covers because he has a new album out called Mockingbird, which is like mostly an acoustic cover album, but with a few original stuff.
Yeah, that's
pretty because cool. the Clicks, while they're touring in the summer, there really hasn't been much time for them to get together to record.
Oh, that sucks.
Because Brian Viglione's doing his own thing with like all the five other bands he's in, and Toby Parks is really been busy with the band Bambi. So Lucas is just going out on his own at the moment, and just the songs that he did a cool acoustic version of Runaway by Kanye West.
Yeah.
And he did take a couple of his original songs from the Clicks and gave it sort of like a Neil Young type of flavor to it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Neil Young is great.
So hearing Dirty King and Oh Yeah as in that sort of formation was really different, and it added a little bit more of a coolness factor to it.
For the covers they did, are you able to get those on CDs?
Or I think some of them. On the album's called Mockingbird, and okay. It's available right now online. Okay. I don't think there's a... I don't think you could get them in the store yet. I think it's just online exclusive.
Okay.
And then Sick of Sarah came on, too, who are from, I want to say, Minnesota. And they're a crazy group that are really good. I bought one of their albums. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but their live shows are really cool. The only issue was, again, vocals. You could barely hear the vocalist singing while the other instruments were playing. And they were even shouting to the sound guy, says, "Can you turn up the vocals?" And he said, "They're as high as they are."
Sound quality issues.
Which is weird because none of the other bands had sound quality issues.
Well, that shit does happen more or less. Maybe it was just their equipment because they have different equipment that they switch through. So I don't know.
But yeah,
shit happens.
I know Hunter Valentine are going to be planning to come back here over the summer. They said they do have a Boston show planned, but they just don't remember where it's going to be.
Gotta love that.
So maybe what we can do is maybe meet up with them and maybe do some more of video.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Maybe we can talk to them about doing something with, like shooting, like them performing a couple songs and posting it on the B3 site.
Nice. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. So, really, I highly recommend Hunter Valentine. Truly one of the best bands out there right now. And I think that's all I can say about that.
Okay.
So let's finish up with your review of a movie.
Well, I went and saw the movie Hall Pass, starring Owen Wilson. Now, you know, I went into this on something that this could be funny, or it could completely fail.
Like Drillbit Taylor.
Oh, yeah. We don't talk about Drillbit Taylor. But I'm sitting there.
Marmaduke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Shut up. But as I'm sitting there through this movie, like, I was laughing because, no, there's this character I came to know from, y'all gotta laugh at me, but it's a rock movie.
Wait. Ha ha! Okay, go ahead.
Tooth Fairy. I know. But he's British.
Of course he's British.
And, like, the dude walks around in one scene with an umbrella, and he brings the, pot brownies.
Oh, no, and not pot brownies. Anything but pot brownies!
When he's speaking, he's like, "It's a little bit naughty." But your two main characters, Owen Wilson and Jason,
Are they guy from Saturday Night Live?
Jason Sudeikis?
Yeah. Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, he's
Sudeikis. He reminds me so much of Chris Parnell, especially in the voice.
Yeah. Well, they're like best friends, and there's,
Hey, Richard Jenkins is in that. He's funny.
Oh, and Jenna Fisher from The Office.
At Christine Applegate.
Christina. Yep.
They were the wives of Owen Wilson's wife was Jenna Fisher. Christina Applegate went to Jason, so. And what winds up happening is they're sex crazed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at a friend's house, or a friend of their wives, who are the, you know, let me show you what I have, you know, rich kind of people. The dude, they're like all over bronze. The dude's son is dressed just like him. The wife's, you know, and the daughter are dressed exactly alike. They look like clones of their parents.
Oh, jeez.
So the house has a safe room. And, like, Alyssa Milano's in this scene. The only thing she did, and her titties are just, like, kind of hanging out. I'm like,
Movies.
So the guys are downstairs, and, you know, they're going through, and they start listening to what the guys are saying. And they're making fun of everybody. They're making fun of her giant titties, because they're fake. Mm-hmm. They were making fun of the over-bronze woman. They said that, you know, she had, like, a big mouth vagina.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was hilarious. Got him in trouble. The pass came. And it just turns into 7 days of stupid, funny stuff happening. So, check it out. I actually really enjoyed it. I know my friends did, so it's a good time.
What do you get for a rating?
I'll give it a 4.2 out of 5.
Okay.
Because, you know, it would have been a regular 4, but if you stay a little bit past the previews and you get to the little block scene, it adds another 2 on.
Alright.
Because the little British dude is like, maybe, you know, they look a lot happier. Maybe I should give you a hall pass. And he goes into this whole, like, mode where he's thinking. And he's in bed with this hot Asian girl. Like, yeah! Husband shows up. I'm like, what the fuck? And they wrestle with a gun and he dies. And he's burying him. And she's like, but what about the police? I'll snitch. Yeah, bang, and he's burying her. And then grandma's being buried. Because she comes out looking. There's some 4 dudes on the roof. Yo, man, that was crazy. We saw the whole thing. Bang, bang, bang. You see him running from the police. And he gets put in jail. And there's this big, bald, white dude sitting behind him. He's like, gives him the little tongue flick. And all of a sudden, the very next thing, the dude's holding on the bars like this. And the dude got no shirt on. You see him moving behind. You hear, like, the squishing noise. I'm like, oh! And he looks, oh, I'll try it. I'm like, what? And I couldn't stop laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I recommend this movie.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes.
All right.
I think we're done.
We'll move the anime to next week so everyone can have a chance to look at it.
Yeah, finally.
Maybe.
So, remember, visit our website at bostonbashbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. And if you have any comments, requests, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. And you can personally follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. And you can follow Anvil here at Anvil63.
When I decided to write.
Anyways, we've also are on myspace.com/BostonBastardBrigade. We have a Facebook group on Facebook. You know, the setup, you just have to type in Boston Bastard Brigade. Probably halfway through, you'll already find the group. Next to that, I mean, we're trying to keep on putting everything up as much as we possibly can.
Right.
On everything. So check it out, motherfuckers.
We have a few interviews up there.
Interviews!
Yeah, we just... He did one with Widow Sunday. I did one with Hunter Valentine. I'm trying to work and see what interviews I'm going to be able to do at Anime Boston this coming month. So hopefully, cross my fingers, I'll get some good people.
I have the Homefront article up as well. So, yep. Yeah.
And check out our sisters, Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Go over there, show them some love. While you're there, check out Geek Aggro. Also, check out our friends at Gamer Reaction at gamerreaction.tv. It's a good time.
Okay.
All right.
That's it. Anything else you want to add before we go?
No, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
He's still depressed because his team got knocked out of the tournament.
All right.
That's true.
All right. Let's go.
Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
Mr. Coos.
Anvil.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are Los Bastards.
What the fuck?
The hell
is it? I want to try something different.
No! We've been doing the same thing for almost 2 years. Let's redo it.
Boku tachi wa little bastards.
Alright, you're not allowed to speak. Well, we're the bastards, he's a bitch.
I'm the king.
Doesn't mean you can't be a bitch.
No, that'd be a queen. No. Which is what you are.
No, actually, that'd mean you could.
Alright, let's get it done with. See you later, fuckers. 'Cause I love